Good morning, Texas. Here we are, program number 59, The Cup of Goodness, and it is overflowing this morning. We are going to continue looking at 1 Corinthians 13:10, which states, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." We're looking to that as the only way that could be anything, it would have to be a King James Bible. It can't be Jesus coming on a second coming, because all those things that were done in part are still being done in part. And then in all reality, we don't even need a Bible. Well, in all reality of realities, people are living their Christian life today as if they had no Bible. For a while in America, it was a King James Bible. Then they started bringing in the RSV, and they started bringing some other Bibles, and we were able to show people the differences, and people went back to their King James Bible. But today, there's been so much authority taken away from anything to do with any Bible. Not only do people find themselves not interested in NIV, they just listen to their pastor, who of course has the inside approach, the inside contact with God, to tell him from the Greek and the Hebrew and from the originals, which by the way do not exist. So how can anybody say that the originals say when nobody have the originals to show what they do say? So they can make a claim without having to back that up. And we look at all these modern Bibles, we learn that in order to make a copyright on any book, they have to have certain percentage of the words have to be changed. And if they get that percentage done, then they can claim that particular book for their copyright. And the changes that have been done in the King James Bible, some of these changes are so silly and so unnecessary, it just has to verify the fact that they had to change so much, and so they changed what they could so they can get their own copyright. King James Bible does not have a copyright. Well, it does have the crown copyright from England, but that doesn't mean that the people are prohibited from using it. That crown copyright was there just to keep people from changing it. Well, that obviously no longer exists. So if you see a King James Bible that has a copyright on it, that's only because the notes are copyrighted inside that Bible. Notes, maps, explanations, dictionary, concordance, whatever. That's what's copyrighted, but not the text. Unless, of course, it's not the 1611, this is the 21st century, or an American King James, or whatever, then yeah, they'll have a copyright. Because they made enough changes so they can claim their own copyright. It's always about money, anyway. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13:10, and I'm going to ask this question. Why do we say only? Maybe I should say, why do I say only? I'm not the only one that says only. There are many people that say King James Bible 1611 only. We are finding out when I come to this verse, 1 Corinthians 13:10, they don't really believe that which is perfect is the King James Bible. I'm not sure what they believe, but they hate to say that one. Yet they'll use the word perfect all the time. This Bible is inerrant. They say it's perfect. No mistakes. No, perfect means complete. We've been over that, so listen to the previous programs if you want to hear about that. It means it's done. No more Bible coming after it. No more Bible before it. What about all those pre-Bibles, those English Bibles? Well, they're in the process of His preservation, process of His promise to preserve His Word generation to generation. That had to take place. When it's all done, the final product, after polishing that Geneva and the bishops and the Matthews, etc., etc., they came up with the 1611 Bible. And here's what even King James himself says. I've got a section on my website. It's called PowerPoint Presentations. And one of the presentations is I show quotes and things about King James. Then I've got another presentation that talks about his wife as well. But here's just a small little quote, what King James himself says. He says, "Prophecies and visions are now ceased. All spirits that appear in these forms are evil." See, King James himself even knew when that Bible came along, there stops, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, all that which was done in part is now no longer there. Then he says, here's another interesting quote, kind of a bunny trail here. This is a quote from my website page. King James described many of the rites and secrets of these unlawful arts practiced by witches. He warned sternly against the making of circles and of evil spirits called brownies. Wow. Can you imagine mentioning the fact that the word brownies in earlier days meant evil spirits making circles? Do anybody make circles today and hold hands and sing some things or whatever? That circle thing, is that of the devil, as people say? Holding hands in a circle, that's a witch's activity. And they called them brownies when they did that. But anyway, like I say, that's gone, right? Well, don't you think that the devil must get a chuckle that after a while something he'd get started becomes everyday commonplace today? Anyway, so that's what King James had to say. So here are my questions. This King James Bible that we talk about all the time, that I talk about all the time, if this is the King James Bible 1 Corinthians 13:10 is referring to, then here's my questions. Is this Bible, then, God's mouth? Let's go to Matthew 4:4. Now, I really encourage you folks today that if you've got a different Bible in your lap or in your room someplace, go get it. Look these things up. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So is this Bible the mouth of God? We don't want to live by bread alone, so we should be living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Well, this is what proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is it or is it not? Again, compare this to 300, 400 more Bibles. How can all these different words saying different things be all out of the same mouth? Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, now, wait a minute. You just quoted the Gospels. I know. That's okay. He's telling that to the devil. Right? Remember that story? But we are still following the mouth of God. These folks followed the mouth of God. In the desert, they followed the mouth of God. Today, we follow the mouth of God through the risen Savior, through Paul, through a King James Bible, rightly divided. We know that that mouth is speaking to us, to Gentiles today. Okay? The mouth of God in the Gospels is the mouth of God, and it's in this King James Bible, but those words from that mouth are being referred to the Jews. That makes sense. Okay, what about this King James only comment? Well, if you're going to take all these different Bibles, and I really wish you'd take the time to compare different versions and look at the different verses and everything, it's either all or one. You can't have none, then that wouldn't take care of 1 Corinthians 13:10, then we wouldn't know at all what's going on. It's either all of the Bibles or one of them. All of them say different things. And they all compare themselves to one King James Bible. Okay, so that's too easy to deal with. How about the complaint that the King James Bible is archaic? There's words in there that are too difficult or too old. I have here in front of me a list of NIV words that replaced the King James words. And I'll give you the King James word, and then I'll read you the NIV word. And you tell me, is that easier to understand than the King James word? For example, somebody who's amazed. I think most people know what amazed means. Well, NIV uses the word aghast. King James says chains. NIV, armlets. King James, founded. NIV, bewilderment. Something that's cut in pieces in a King James is blunted in an NIV. Somebody who's strong is blustering in an NIV. This is good. A bunch of children, they're called a brood. Now, some of us have heard these NIV words, but think about it. If you got a beginner reading some of these things, listen to some of these words they've changed them to. First of all, what's wrong with the word children? What's so archaic and difficult about the word children? And then to put the word brood in there? How about horsemen? Okay, we got a lot of people that have horses and rodeos and stuff, a bunch of horsemen out there. Well, how about charioteers? Well, when's the last time anybody ever rode a chariot? That's a little old-fashioned. A porch is a colonnade. A voice is cooing. Lasciviousness, which we've already talked about that a number of times, has been changed to debauchery, or debauchery. I probably should know how to pronounce that, but it's too archaic for me. Debauchery. Something that is destroyed is decimated. I know what that means, but how many people do? How about this one? A penny is a denarius in an NIV. A riot is a dissipation in an NIV. To enter something is to encroach something. To perish is to exterminate. Complainers are fault finders. Just picking out some English here. Speaking is fomenting. Passing over something in the King James is forded in an NIV. That's a little difficult for some folks. Full is glutted. A cup is a goblet. Hell is changed to Hades. I don't think telling somebody to go to Hades when you're mad at them is going to do anything for them. Not that you should be able to tell anybody about going to hell either, unless they're going to go to hell. It isn't something you wish, but to tell somebody Hades, what is Hades? There's no threat behind Hades. How about robbers? They're called marauders in an NIV. Giants, Nephilim in the NIV. Dung is offal. in NIV. Red, the color red, is porphyry. Porphyry. Got this little fat man in a porphyry suit. Governors, they're called prefects. Strong, somebody who's strong, according to the King James Bible, but in NIV, he's raw-boned. Something glorious is resplendent. Cornets are called sistrums. These are just a few. Strengtheneth is to vaunt. Green is called verdant. A river is called wadi. That's amazing stuff. In fact, I can't think of it offhand right now, but if you look up the Red Sea in the NIV Bible, I think it's called the Wahib and the Supplet. Something like that. Well, what's wrong with the Red Sea? Anyway, we can't go to the fact that a King James Bible is archaic when an NIV takes perfectly normal words and makes them archaic, unusable and unknown, difficult, whatever. So that excuse is kind of out the window. How about if you look to Hebrews 4:12? Hebrews 4:12 says here, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's what the Word of God is. Let's do it again. Quick, meaning alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, comma, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of the person reading that. The Word of God. Is the Word of God, is it this King James Bible? Well, it must be. The King James Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And then it gets more deep. Or should I say deeper? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, comma, and I say that comma for a reason, and of the joints and marrow. Now, why would you say that? Well, if we go to Colossians chapter 2, if this King James Bible is the Word of God, so we go to Colossians 2, and we see here in verse 11, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Could it possibly be that this sword, the Word of God, is the sword that divides asunder? Isn't that what it said in Hebrews? Dividing asunder of soul and spirit, comma, which separates soul and spirit from the joints and marrow. That's the physical, that's the flesh. So is it the Word of God that would be the sword of the Spirit? Well, let's go to Ephesians. We go to Ephesians chapter 6, and look at verse 17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Is this Word of God the King James Bible? Is that the sword that the Spirit uses to divide asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow? Could that be possibly why in Ephesians chapter 1 it says that ye heard the word of truth? Is your King James Bible the word of truth? Now remember, you all have different Bible versions out there. They all say different things. How can things that are different be the same? How can all these different versions come out of God's one single mouth? That doesn't sound like unifying things to me at all. So in Ephesians, the word of truth, you hear the word of truth, it says that's the gospel of your salvation. Could it possibly be that this King James Bible is the word of God that separates the soul and the spirit from the flesh? Could it be the word of truth that's the gospel of your salvation? Pretty powerful stuff. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Now we're talking here about, if any man teach otherwise, and that's referring to the first two verses, then says, "And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." Is the King James Bible? Obviously, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. The words that Paul speak to us, would those be even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ? And then it adds, "And to the doctrine which is according to godliness." Well, the only doctrine according to godliness is Paul's doctrine when he talks about godliness. Well, King James Bible is becoming to sound more and more important. How about if we go to Titus? Just a couple of pages over, probably. Titus chapter 2. And he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Then he goes down this list of things. For aged men, aged women, young men, servants, people that work for bosses. Wow. We go down to verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So is this King James Bible sound doctrine? Is it sound doctrine if we get it from the Gospels? No. Is it sound doctrine if we get it from the Tribulation books? Well, it will be for the Tribulation, but it's not sound doctrine to us today. Sound doctrine comes from Paul's teachings, and in this case, given to Titus. Earlier chapter gives to Timothy. Well, that makes sense. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:17. We're just zipping along here, 1 Corinthians 4:17. There we go. For this cause, what does that cause? Be ye followers of me, to follow Paul, he says here in verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, so every church should be teaching Paul's ways as he gave them to Timothy. So, if we look at Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, well, those are the ways of Paul. Are those being taught everywhere in your church? Well, is it coming from a King James Bible? Then those are Paul's ways. Because the other Bibles say to imitate Paul. No, we're just to follow Paul. Be ye followers of me. Not imitators, but followers of me. And we should learn to follow Paul's ways, and those things be taught in every church. Really? Yeah. But what about this? Oh, let's go to 1 Kings. Let's go way back to 1 Kings. Okay, way back. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 24. 1 Kings 17, 24. Here we go. 17, 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Well, was Elijah speaking the truth? Was he speaking the Lord? Was he speaking what the Lord told him to speak? Well, that's in your King James Bible. So Elijah was speaking the word of the Lord. Can we not get the word of the Lord today? Let's go to Jeremiah. One of my favorite Old Testament books, by the way, is Jeremiah. Someday we're going to do a program on Jeremiah based on Paul today. It's fascinating stuff. We go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. No, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So everything Jeremiah spoke was given to him by God. Really? Yeah. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 14. Jeremiah 5, 14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Jeremiah must have been a pretty tough preacher. Those were God's words in his mouth, and the people were like wood to his words, and his words, they got burned by his words, as we say today. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, and is cut off from their mouth. I have to ask, do you hear the voice of the Lord? Do you hear the voice of God? You do if you're listening to a King James Bible being read, or if you're reading the King James Bible yourself. You're hearing the voice of God. The other Bibles? You can't possibly. They've got thousands and thousands and thousands of changes in them. Here's something to consider. Modern Bibles. I've got a site on there. It's my PowerPoint presentation. I mentioned that about King James. I got some articles on him. Remember, he's just the guy that financed. He's not the guy that wrote the King James Bible. He's the one that paid for it. He's the one that got it together. He's a financier. That's all he is. He didn't write the thing. So I've got a presentation on the opposites. Some of the changes made to an NIV, for example, are just the opposite of a King James Bible. It's not that they just put in a supposed better word. Apparently, God was wrong, just opposite of each other. We're looking at Psalm 10, where it says, his ways are always grievous, the wicked. His ways are always grievous in a King James Bible. NIV has the wicked, his ways are always prosperous. That's it. How could God be so wrong with that? When he says the wicked ways are grievous, and yet an NIV, for example, says the wicked, his ways are prosperous. Just the opposite. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. again, talking about the wicked in a certain situation, read the context, and the King James Bible says, you know, the wicked were forgotten. Yet an NIV Bible and an ESV Bible change it to received praise and were praised. So the wicked were forgotten in the King James Bible. Apparently God had that wrong because now it says they received praise. Oh, and I've got another list of opposites that are up there. Just get into the website, scatteredchristians.org, and click down to the PowerPoint presentations. Go over there and click on those things. There's no sound. You just got to click your mouse to go to the next picture, next slide, and you'll see some things that will just absolutely astound you. And you can also go back to the main page and scroll down to where it says, which Bible should I use? And click on that thing, and you'll see thousands, I mean thousands and thousands of corrections, as they call them, changes made to these new Bibles today. How can that be all from God's mouth? Why would God tell somebody to go around this country and tell people what's wrong with that Bible? We are really getting things mixed up in this country. King James Bible is archaic? No. King James Bible is hard to understand? Well, yes, it's full of contradictions and confusion if you don't rightly divide it. But if you rightly divide it, there's no contradictions, there's no confusion. Makes total sense. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. I think you know where I'm going to go with this thing, some of you folks. Verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Verse 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, getting ready for the millennium. So Jesus Christ, he's called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Hebrews tells me the King James Bible, if that's the Word of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. Ephesians tell me that's the sword of the Spirit. A pretty powerful book. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And when he says in verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God. By the way, King James Bible is the only Bible that says to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You study this King James Bible, you know what you find out? If you put your faith and trust in the risen Savior, as Paul teaches, through this King James Bible, which is the gospel of your salvation, it's the word of truth, it's the sword of the Spirit, then you will find that you are approved unto God. How did that happen? God made you approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. He's taken care of sin. He washed your sins away. He took care of sin by dealing with the law. He imputes his righteousness onto your record and makes you approved. You're not set free, you're made free. These are all things I've talked about. I talk about in these programs all the time. So a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I know if you're reading a different Bible out there in Radio Land, your Bible verse does not say this in verse 15. It doesn't say that at all. And if you go to Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, where he promised to preserve his words, your Bibles, unless it's the King James Bible, says he's going to preserve his people. No, he's talking about his words. So wouldn't it be the devil to get rid of that promise? Wouldn't it be the devil to get rid of rightly dividing to understand the Scriptures? Wouldn't it be the devil's way that if he wants to be like the Most High, that he's got to get rid of the only Bible that exposes him, and the only Bible that exposes his ways, his tricks, his deceptions? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Talking to Timothy here. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which, by the way, we can teach that to our children, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, is it faith in Christ Jesus? No, it's faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's his faith. And here we go. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, not errorless, but complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He's made us capable of doing the right thing. And this word Scripture, all Scripture, is King James Bible Scripture? Of course it is. And we've been over that. Takes us back to 1 Corinthians 13:10, which tells us that which is perfect, it's come. When Paul was writing, it hadn't come yet. but he knew it was coming. And he said, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, knowledge freely given by God, tongues, and prophecies, shall be done away. He says in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, this during Paul's day, but then, and that's when this Bible's here, we see God face to face. Now I know in part during the time, but then Paul says, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We can know from God's mouth as much as the fact that people knew who Paul was in that day. So during Paul's time, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now that we have the scriptures, now that we have that which is perfect, charity is not the most important thing. Well, what is? Chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. But he that prophesieth, in verse 3, speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's teaching the word of God. Do we have the word of God today? Do you have words from the mouth of God today? You do if you've got a King James Bible. You know which words from God's mouth are spoken to you if you're rightly divided by looking to Paul. Really isn't that complicated, is it? It really isn't. Stay with us. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. I think it's time we start looking at speaking in tongues the way Paul says, if you're going to do that, here's what you do. And you get together some of your tongue-speaking friends, and they'll find out that they're doing it all wrong. Just totally doing it all wrong. It's amazing how wrong we're doing it today, thinking that God is behind it. No, Satan is behind it. We'll talk about that tomorrow, if they have the whatever to come and listen in. In the meantime, this is still the cup of goodness. Not the cup of meanness, not the cup of badness. It's the cup of goodness that God would show us these things and give us the confidence and the assurance to follow Him, knowing we're living in the dispensation of grace, but the goodness of God, not the severity of God. We'll talk to you folks tomorrow.